Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I declare the meeting of the Liberal Committee meeting scheduled for Wednesday, 11th March 2015, opened at 12:30 PM. And with that, I acknowledge the traditional owners, the Kariyarra people, their leaders, past, present and future, who have contributed and will continue to contribute to the betterment of the town of Port Hedland. So welcome everybody. And let me also acknowledge our new member at the table, community member, Chris. Chris, welcome. I'm looking forward to your contribution, being that you are a current tenant of the airport facility. So I'm hoping that you'll be able to bring some insight into the committee's deliberation. So welcome.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Right, with item two. Item three, recording of attendance. We have Brett, I'll let you call out.
That's okay.
So yep. Missed it because I don't think we're all there in attendance. Moore Howlett is an apology.
Yep.
Councillor Gillingham is an apology. We have Miss Flo Bennett is an apology. And as is Councillor Hunt.
Yep. So we have Gloria around the table. We have Brad Polenko. We have Councillor Butson, Jason Green and Chris McMahon.
Fantastic. Okay, we have a quorum. Thank you very much. Okay, apologies as mentioned before. Approved leave of item 3.3, approved leave of absence. There is nil. Item 4, responses to previous questions. Item 4.1. Question from the public at the Airport Committee held on Wednesday, 4th February 2015. There is nil. Item 4.2, question from the committee members at the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 4th of February. There is nil as well. So moving on to page 9, public time. Is there any public out there?
No, Madam Chair.
Okay, I will read the important notice for the benefit of the committee. Okay, this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 6.16 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. So with that in mind, I would open, I would move to item 5.1, open public question time at what time, Brett?
12:33.
Recognising that there is no public in the gallery, I would close it at the same time. Item 5.2, public statement time. I would open that time at what time, public statement time at what?
12:34.
Thank you, and recognising that there is no public in the gallery, I would close it at the same time. Thank you, Brett.
Thank you.
Okay, item 6, questions from members without notice. Brett, can I ask you to please go around the table?
Brett, mm-hmm. Questions without notice?
Just on that, the coffee cart operations. Is there a timetable around when that's going to be open? It's just possibly from a recent experience when I was there in the morning and it wasn't open. Obviously, it might just be due to numbers and when the peak periods are, but just sort of want to know something about that, if possible.
Through the chair. The coffee cart is required under its lease to actually be opened. Excuse me. Problem with my throat today. It's required to be open during the schedule for licensed scheduled services, so there's actually prescribed times that is meant to be open. So that's the main cafe, and the coffee cart comes under the main cafe. The issue that was experienced in recent time was they had two staff resign with no notice, so they were just short-staffed.
Okay.
So we've worked with them. I mean, you can use the lease as a big stick, but in this instance, we just worked with them to make sure. Pleased to say there was someone on board there this morning when I came in, which was good. The cafe manager's been very good in communicating what's been happening, what's been going on in terms of getting someone on board, getting them trained, etc.
Yep. Okay, that's good. So just no more.
Thank you.
Lorraine Butson?
No questions.
Chris?
No questions, thank you.
Jason?
No questions, thanks.
Thanks, Director. I do have a question relating to some things that we might want to bring to the following agendas for the committee meeting. Do we have any information on where we're at with the planning of the next Northwest Airport Forum?
That is on my to-do list, Madam Chair.
So will we be bringing something back to the committee at the next meeting?
Yep, I can do that.
Fantastic. Second question is, could you give us an indication of where we are with the customer surveys that were being done as a requirement for the airport governance review?
Certainly, Madam Chair. Currently at this stage, we look like we're up over 500 surveys completed. So the Labour Hire Company that we've been using has done an excellent job, I think. They've certainly been getting through them in what's been, Nat, about a week, I'm assuming? About 1 week. So we're on target to do the 1,000 that we promised we would try and do within a two-week period. And the only limiting factor, I think, has been internet access, which has been a bit patchy at the airport. But we're up and running at the moment, and those surveys are now being entered into the Survey Monkey, so Urban Economics, who's doing the analysis for us, can actually start to prepare that report.
Right. And just one final question, Director. I'm not sure if you've advised the committee about Wi-Fi. Have we had that discussion already?
No. Thank you for reminding me, Chair. No. As part of the town's overall Wi-Fi strategy, we've jumped onto that and requested that we have Wi-Fi installed at the terminal as part of that project. So I think that's just going to be programmed in now to be installed. And so this is probably in Seb's basket, but there was a tender done for Wi-Fi across the town. And there are various sums of money for each particular discrete project, and I think it's around $37,000, I think, to have the relevant infrastructure and service agreements in place for Wi-Fi from the terminal. There has been, just for the committee's information, there has been a conversation with Telstra with the relocation of their phone about potentially installing Wi-Fi, but that wouldn't be a free service, whereas we're intending to install a free Wi-Fi service.
So, Director, can you just enlighten us as to what the time frame would possibly be for that?
I'll have to take that on notice, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I've got. All right.
Jan's just joined us as well.
Fabulous. Welcome, Councillor Gillingham. You're now strengthening the the component, the elected member component of the airport committee. So welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My apologies. Running a bit late, but thank you.
No worries. Okay. We're moving on to item 7 on page 9, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business papers presented before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands? Director, I'll let you count.
2, 3, 4, 5.
And my hand was up there. Okay, so thank you very much. Let the record reflect those numbers. Item 8, confirmation of minutes of previous meetings. Item 8.1, the confirmation of the minutes of the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, 4th February 2015. Are there any points of clarification? If there are no points of clarification, given that I can't see, can I have a mover and a seconder for that, please?
Councillor Gillingham's the mover.
Thank you.
And Button is seconder.
Fantastic. Thank you, councillors. Okay, item 9, announcements by presiding members without discussion.
Do we have a vote on that?
Six. My hand is up, Director, thank you.
Court six.
Thank you. All right. So item 9, the announcement by presiding member without discussion. I guess the two things that I'd like to advise the committee is that we have met with the art project for the airport steering group, and we will be briefed on that at a concept forum. Is it next week, Director, please, just to confirm that, and committee members will all be invited to that forum, that concept forum.
Yes, Chairman, it's currently scheduled for the 25th of March.
Okay, so committee, I'd really like to see if we can all attend that, because that will be quite worth being at, and your comments and feedback would be appreciated. We did try to get it to come to this meeting, but there wasn't enough time for them to prep up all of the information required. Okay, the second thing is with regard to the government's review, TAG were in town. They're the group that have been working on the project for us, and they had some very positive feedback. And when that data is available, we will be making that report back to the committee. Director, I'm sorry, I'm calling on you again. Do we have any indication as to when they're coming back?
The report, draft report, will be tabled on the 25th of March.
Yep.
And the final report will be presented to elected members on the 14th, I think, of April. I'm not 100% sure, but about mid-April, 14th or 15th of April.
Okay, thank you. So they're the only two things that I've got to announce, worthy of note. So without anything further, moving on to item 10. Deputations, presentations, and submissions. There are new. So I'll move on to page 10. Item 11.1, Office of the CEO. 11.1.1, Airport Management Report. And the report has been prepared by the listed officers there. And what we might do is have each one of those officers speak to the report that they have presented, which are enclosed in your papers, before we come to deal with the items. So, Director, if I could, if you could just work your way around to all of the officers present there. Cheers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll introduce the report and then we'll work our way around. This is obviously a new report. It's a new reporting structure. It's completely different to the way that reporting's been done for the committee in the past. There's been a desire to provide more, relevant operational but strategic information to the committee so that it can be informed of pertinent and relevant matters to the committee. Traditionally, it's been quite projects-focused, so this helps to inform the committee on matters such as business development, financial performance, and operational performance, pavement matters and the like. So with that said, just in terms of the General Manager's report, I've noted in the report that there's up to the November period, and we are actually working on data to actually to get the AVDATA information into a format where we can actually report that. So AVDATA currently collects all our passenger information. So the information that's provided in here today actually comes from the Bureau of Infrastructure, Transport and Regional Economics. So it's a little bit out of date in terms of, sorry, it's not timely is the best way to put it, because it's a national body that produces that work. So we've used that in the first instance just to get some brief commentary around passenger numbers and the like. So for instance, up to the November period, so looking back from a rolling 12 months, November period, there was a slight drop in numbers of 0.5%, but looking at the 12 months, the airport actually grew at 5.4%. So it's still growing quite strongly, and as I said earlier in the meeting, it appears to be on the back of the Roy Hill project. It seems to be propping up the numbers quite well when you consider Karratha Airport and Newman Airport are experiencing greater than 10% drops in their passenger numbers currently. So we're actually looking pretty good. Is that sustainable into the future? No, we're expecting that when the Roy Hill project finishes that there will be a drop in passengers, and it could look like 30,000 passengers or something like that. But we are expecting that that would be the only drop that we will see, and that would be going into steady growth from there on in. Certainly the feedback from the BHPs, the FMGs of this world are that they've done all the optimisation they need to do, and they're now in a steady state program. Interestingly, FMG has actually got a policy of trying to employ residents, so as every FIFO worker through natural attrition disappears, they are looking then to replace with resident workers from their perspective. But they don't see a great drop in numbers overall. They do see a shift over a longer time period. Also, on the back of that, we're seeing a shift in shift rosters as well. So we are expecting to continue to grow as an airport. From an airport's perspective, we want to see lots of FIFO workers flying in and out, because that's our numbers and that's how we perform, I guess, underpinned by that. And we're seeing a change in shift roster to an 8 and 5 day roster, which is an interesting roster that they've got going. The feedback on that was we're going to a shorter shift roster because they don't have to pay FIFO penalties, if you like, and it actually is cheaper to add a few more airfares than to be paying the remote workers allowance. That's the feedback.
You're going to 2-in-1, aren't they, FMG?
They've got a combination. They're actually doing a 2-in-1, and they're doing an 8-in-5. Councillor Busson, you're correct. It depends on whether they're a production worker, a maintenance worker, a shutdown worker.
But I think the new ones is going to be 2-in-1.
Yeah, I think for operation, mine operation 2-in-1. Yeah. Okay. So just in terms of the passenger performance and the passenger profiles, that's we're expecting, as I said, just to go into looking at an annual growth of about 3.5% is probably the best estimate at this stage. But as part of the review, the passenger profiles review, we're actually going to do reforecasting for the airport. Currently, our forecasting is over a 20-year period is looking at close to 3%, but we're actually reforecasting all of that to see what our annual year-on-year growth will be. Just in terms of my report on the Virgin matter, just to confirm that Virgin has applied through the National Passenger Processing Committee, which is a what we call CIQ, Customs Immigration Quarantine Committee, for approval for their turnaround time, and they've made their slot applications through to Bali in Indonesia, and they have been approved. And from the CIQ agencies, there's also an approval in principle for the turnaround time that they're proposing, which is the 1 hour 40 minute turnaround time. So we are still heading towards that for April deadline. Just in terms of stakeholder communications, as advised earlier in the meeting, weekly updates have been taking place, and they now go out on Monday, and they cover a more broader a range of things, not just terminal specific. I know we mentioned that the stained glass mural had been put into the terminal, which is terminal specific, but that actually looks quite good. I was actually quite surprised at how it brightens up the area. It's actually been quite a good initiative to get that back into the terminal as well. But we also have in that update now talk about the civil and land side improvements, such as the second exit to the car park and the like, and the public art program as well, shade structures and stuff like that. So that update is going out to all stakeholders. NAT's been sending out almost daily updates around terminal operational matters, particularly around the air conditioning and the program that we're looking at to help improve the air conditioning equipment and the like. I'm sure Nat will talk more about that when we get to his section. Just in terms of people and culture, the only update in the report that I will mention there is that we no longer have a full contingent of AROs. Unfortunately, the ARO that was joining us has declined. So we're now looking at an internal process. We think we've got a good candidate, so we're going to go through that process to get another ARO on board in that regard. Just in terms of operations, and matters, I guess, pertaining to the terminal. I did mention the air conditioning. I guess the update there is parts are coming, if not already arrived. I think there's a couple of compressors now that were on their way as well. So that will help improve the situation, and we have commissioned a report to be done on the air conditioning system as well. Madam Chair, I'll just talk to, I guess, the passenger traffic, aircraft movement and the load factors. And then just in terms of the budget, I'll ask Peter to talk to our financial performance. So in terms of the actual raw numbers, actual passenger numbers for financial year in 2014 were just about 505,000. And for financial year 2015, if you project how we're currently growing, we're actually looking like achieving just over 530,000 passengers, which represents a 5.3% increase. As I've said, tempering that with the fact that into the future, once the Roy Hill project comes off the boil, we are expecting to see a bit of a drop in that. In terms of aircraft movements, airlines have been becoming more efficient, I guess is the best way to put it. They've decreased their airline movements by about 2.4%, which has then seen a corresponding lift in load factors, on aircraft load factors, from 58% to 63% on average. These load factor numbers, of course, are based on averages too, so they're not, strictly speaking, accurate numbers, but they do give us a good indication of how the airline is performing, and that's why we like to see what their load factors are. Anything above 60% is healthy, particularly given the fees, the airfares that are charged at the moment. So we know they're making money, which is positive for our customers as well. Okay, well, are there any questions on my section of the report? Okay, great.
I was just going to ask, if I may, through the chair there, with the Air North, will they now, with the Bali flights, come to the park to try and get people, except from Broome, to connect to the Bali flights? Is that something?
It's possible. We haven't actually had a conversation through the chair. We haven't actually had a conversation with them about that. They are coming to present to the committee in April, so we can certainly question them about that. But equally, I could follow that up too.
The other thing I wanted to know is that, you know, what their Air North timetable would be. Obviously, they fly quite frequent between Port Hedland and Broome. Yes? I don't know. Just asking through the chair. Then.
Yeah. I'll take that on notice.
Could you take it on notice? That'd be great. It would be good to know, actually. Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, well, without further ado, I'll hand over to Pete.
Thanks, Brett, and apologies, Madam Chair, but I've just tabled an operating statement for the airport detailing the mid-year result, and I apologise that you don't have a copy in front of you, but I'm more than happy to talk to the item. So the financial statement was actually prepared for the airport group that are undertaking the governance review at the moment, and I think it's a really good format to incorporate into this particular forum. So my view is that finance will continue to build this financial statement with a view of handing it over to airport operations staff, and I think it would be a very good management tool moving forward. But in terms of the financial statement, the amended budget provides for a $10.94 million operating profit, which is returned to surplus on a yearly basis. Which is returned to reserve on a yearly basis, and those funds are used to fund our capital works program. So in terms of the mid-year results, we have a year-to-date budget of $5.47 million versus an operating result of $3.8 million, so 30% less than budget, the main reason being attributable to the proceeds from sale for Kingston Smith Business Park. We have a mid-year budget of $3.3 million versus year-to-date sales of zero. So we're obviously entering into a very active marketing campaign with Hill and First National. And we're optimistic that those sales targets will be hit by year end. So I guess just by way of background to this committee, the proceeds from Kingston Smith Business Park are to be returned to the airport reserve as the $40 million was allocated to the Marina Development Program probably about 3 years ago, and that was funded through the airport reserve. So this is essentially to return those funds. As far as particular line items, landing fees currently sitting at $1.9 million versus a year-to-date budget of $2.25 million. Passenger service charges sitting at just over $5 million compared to a year-to-date budget of $4.75 million. And as mentioned, the major variance as far as operating income are the proceeds from Kingston Smith Business Park currently sitting at nil. So year-to-date income as at December is $8.89 million versus a year-to-date amended budget of $12.6 million, so a variance of 30% actuals versus budget. Looking at operating expenditure, some of the key line items there, salaries, year-to-date expenditure of $879,000 versus a budget of $930,000. And I think the other one worth noting is probably the utility charges, looking at electricity charges as of the 31st of December, $269,000 versus a year-to-date budget of $237,000. So based on what's been presented, I certainly have no fundamental concerns in relation to the financial performance of the airport. The disclaimer being the proceeds from sale at Kingston Smith, we really do need to ensure that we hit those targets in order to, I guess, provide for the capital works program.
Thank you, Peter. Peter.
Pete, has Qantas actually made their first payments back on money that they owe you?
Through the chair, I had a teleconference with Qantas this morning, and they reaffirmed their commitment to clear the arrears by the 30th of June. So the first payment will come through within the next week.
Thank you.
Sorry, it's Gloria here. Have you tabled that report, have you?
Yes, I have.
Could you send me a copy by email, please?
Certainly will do, Madam Chair.
Beautiful. Thank you. All right.
I'll just work around the table to Ellie and Matt, and I'll just see from the operational report if Ellie has anything to add to the report.
Nothing to add to what has been supplied in relation to compliance. We still have no reported issues as far as that goes. We have an incident this morning involving the GA apron and one of the tenants, which we are following through. It has been reported to OTS, and further action will be taken from their part. The Smith's detection equipment is due to be installed in the week commencing the 23rd of March, so that will be the second tunnel being operational in the passenger screening. Bird and Animal Hazard Management, our consultant is here this week, and he's currently going through the review process, and there has been nothing really raised by him so far, so he has no concerns as to the management plans that we have in place and how the staff are carrying out their duties. So we're working well and progressing well from that. He has said that a lot of work has been done by the town, and from what he's seen through his visual inspections, not just from the airport staff but from the town of Port Hedland as a whole, and the different organisations that have been involved in bird mitigation strategies with the sewerage ponds and stagnant water around town, he said that the town itself is to be commended with the effort that has been provided, especially with the landfill and the leaf sports that have been made. It's made a real impact at the airport.
Well done, team.
If I could also add, I spoke very briefly to Bill this morning as well, and we thought we might do, we're going to have to take a look at this, but we might actually add some tables and some graphs in there so you can actually see what's happening with the bird strikes over time and and how they're improving, and I think that would be quite a useful map. And it's, you can see it as a snapshot, so it's something that we've been looking to add to this report. Thanks, Ellie. Are there any questions?
Sorry, are you going around the table to see if there are any questions?
Yeah, with your indulgence, Madam Chair, if that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's what I want you to do. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ellie? No, there are no questions, Madam Chair.
I do have one, Ellie. If you could let me just, I'm happy to take this on notice, but in the arrivals entry area, there's always a pool of water that I believe is a result of the air conditioning. I'm wondering if there's been any resolution or solution to stop the water gathering where all of our passengers have to go through a puddle at times.
We have looked at that. It is, at times, it's associated with the air conditioning systems. And we have carried out some maintenance with the drainage pipes for that. But it's also how the apron itself is designed, and it's all flowing down to the lowest point, which is near the last hangar. It flows down, everything flows down from there. So when we have rain, when the hydrants are opened by the firefighting services in the morning, it all drains down towards that area. We have had discussions with our engineers, and we are looking at finding a solution as part of the drainage problem along the entire frontage of the terminal, not just in that particular point, because it does cause us issues from a pavement management point of view. So it is being addressed, and it's being addressed as part of the main apron upgrade and strengthening project.
Fabulous. Thanks a lot, Ellie.
All right. Well, thank you. I'll just hand over to Nat now just to talk to the terminal report.
Great. Everything still pretty much stands as is in the report here. There's been no changes.
No changes, no updates?
No updates, everything is still current.
All right, given that, through you, Madam Chair, just see if there's any questions from anyone around the table.
I have some if there are no questions.
There are no other questions, Madam Chair.
Okay, so Nat, if I could, please, number one, commend you on getting the Perspex suggestion box onto site. So that is that there as yet?
That's not there as yet. As in the report, it's still being investigated where to place the actual box, because some walls were going to be moved, and now they might not be being moved. And that was going to be the ideal spot because it's right in the flow of traffic.
Okay, no worries. And I noticed that you're talking about wayfinding signages and the lights. Can I ask how far away these are, because it's still not up?
The majority of the lights in the cafe have been replaced and repaired. However, we are still waiting on a few more, so it's not 100% done. That will be done hopefully by the end of next week.
Sorry, I was talking about the wayfinding, signages, and you know, just the signages regarding the interim upgrade.
Yeah, sure. There's some signages up at the moment for the upgrade, but wayfinding, I do not have a budget for that as such.
Director, can you assist there, or I'm happy to take that on notice for the next meeting?
I can assist there. I believe there is a budget, but I'll need to investigate. I thought we put 35 to 50. Not there. Okay. Now I'm looking at the manager of infrastructure and projects, and she's saying it's not there. So we would need to establish a budget for that.
Through the chair, we are as part of the airport projects team and the operational team. We are reviewing our capital expenditure program. And we are looking at which projects we may be able to reallocate some funds from to ensure that the key projects are achieved this financial year.
Okay, well, I just noticed that as part of the communication strategy, there's listed there signages and flyers and posters and all of that as part of the communication strategy. And I'd see that as a priority, given that we're in the midst of all of this work and we don't have the correct signages or the correct Yeah, well, I'm not saying we don't have the correct. I'm just saying that we don't have enough, or we don't have signages that really tell a story. The other thing I had a question about is, I don't know if you've noticed on Facebook, but if we're not keeping track of what's going on Facebook relating to our airport, I'm hoping that that will become somebody's job, because there's been a lot of feedback around Virgin upgrading its schedule. Flights that take some people up to 21 hours to get back from a 3-hour trip to Bali. So are we exposed to any risk, and should we be making putting out some communication or maybe getting some Virgin to do that? Should we be active in that space, do you think?
Yes, Madam Chair, we have been in contact with Virgin, and we are aware of the traffic on Facebook. We've had a couple of meetings with Virgin last week in regards to the issues around the Bali service. The indication has been that as they are a charter operation, going to an RPT operation, but currently a charter operation, their service can be changed without notice, and that's exactly what happened in February, and that service has remained as a non-overnight service since then, and will remain a non-overnight service to the end of March. From then on in, it becomes an RPT service, and so there is a lot of certainty then around those slot allocations, because they're allocated on a 6-monthly basis. So the issue happened was, with no notice, they had flight schedules changed because they were bumped, basically, from their slot. And so they had to fly in and out, had to change their service around and fly in and out on the same day. Their policy is that they would send emails, texts and the like to travellers when that happens. The issue, they've said, one of the issues is that when you're overseas, you don't often get those, unfortunately. But they've also said that if you've booked through an agent, if the agent doesn't forward on that information, passengers don't get it as well. So just wrapping up and finishing off on that, they have said that they make every effort to communicate to passengers as soon as they become available. And they said their policy in terms of getting passengers back to their original destination is to get them as close as possible to the time and date of when they were originally intending to return. So in this case, whilst it sounds incredible, if it comes down to available seats. So if there's not enough available seats to go directly into Perth and then back up to Port Hedland, and that therefore means that a few more days will have passed, they then try to reroute them via other connections to get them back to Port Hedland in as quick a possible a time as possible. So what actually happened in this instance, where there were a couple where they were routed through the Eastern Seaboard, which I know sounds incredible, but it's actually quicker to get them back to their original destination, albeit that they were travelling for such a long time. So we have put out a statement, and Anna and I met with them last week and agreed a statement that would go out. I think that has gone out on Facebook, and certainly it has gone out as one of our media releases, advising the public that we're working with Virgin Blue on this. And that statement was also vetted by Virgin Blue. Virgin Australia. It's a complex matter in terms of how you communicate this, as you can tell from my explanation, which is rather long-winded. So it's very hard to communicate this, and Virgin have said until everything's finalised and there is good news on the horizon in terms of the RPT service, which we're basically at that point now, they tend to stay silent on these matters, and so they've just left it to us to do our own communication strategy.
Okay, thanks for that, Director. Do you think that should be put on the Port Hedland, your statement should be put on the Port Hedland International Airport website? Is that on the website?
It is supposed to be on the website.
Okay, beautiful. That's fine. All right, well, that's all I've got with regard to that. Continue, Director. Is Janelle doing a report now?
I'll just quickly just touch on pavements. The update, I guess, on the report on pavements, I'm happy to jump in, and Ellie might want to jump in as well. We have had a visual inspection done and a report provided by, what do they call themselves?
Aerodrome Management Services.
Management Services, yes. And that visual inspection has provided some good news and some not so good news is the best way to put it. The apron, the runways, the crosswind runway and the main runway are in generally good condition, and there has been a recommendation of some roller maintenance to help improve the life of those and help improve the flexibility and reduce stone loss and the like. In terms of the RPT apron and the taxiways, they are showing signs of wear, and there is now going to be a non-destructive and destructive tests carried out with their recommendations on potential overlays, rectification works, repair works and the like. In the interim, while we're waiting on these reports, we are undertaking spot repairs and maintenance on the aprons. And look, this is pretty normal. The aprons and that, I guess, are were built and designed for a certain aircraft type of weight, and they are now with that, the aircraft types that are now being operated in the airport are heavier, and so the over time there will be wear and tear on the aprons and taxiways. Did you want to add anything to that?
Covered it?
Pretty
much covered it.
Okay. So are there any questions from the chair on that?
No, not from me. Around the table?
Okay. No questions. I'll quickly hand on to Janelle to talk about the projects.
Thank you very much. I guess the focus of projects at the moment is on the international area expansion so that we can make sure we're ready to be fully operational for the 4th of April for when the Virgin changes over to their RPT service. We have no problems to date, everything is tracking well, and the contractors, similar to the previous project in stage one, they're working overnight to actually get the work done and minimise the impact on passengers and services through there. One of the key changes to that project compared to some of the previous plans that were presented to you was that we did have some feedback from customs and border agencies around the international arrivals and the baggage collection area, and they wanted to actually create some more space there because the way it was situated currently, it does make it actually quite difficult for people to use the whole length of the baggage belt to collect their bags, and it ends up having people queuing up for quite a distance. Originally we did look at relocating the baggage belt and shifting it, turning it, all sorts of options, but the time frames just didn't meet the requirements of that original deadline. So what we came up with was actually demolishing the toilets that are currently inside the terminal, which opens up that whole space. It's actually a really good outcome. And to provide toilets, we're actually going to be putting a transportable toilet block just where the exit door is from the baggage belt, the secure exit door. So we will create an airlock in there, and it will be air conditioned and connected to the building through that airlock. So toilets will still be there, and I guess the beauty of it is being a transportable unit, when we actually do terminal renovations, we can use that in any other project or somewhere else, use it at the sporting grounds, whatever we like. So it's not a wasted asset in that regard. So those works are progressing well. In terms of the landslide improvements, we did present a very conceptual sketch plan about the landscaping project, so we can actually, we can circulate that through. That was in the presentation in the concept briefing. We have actually awarded this week a civil design contract to Cardno, which is for all of the ground transport reconfigurations land site. So that's the service lane, service road that goes down to the operations building and past RFDS and so forth. So fixing up that intersection, reconfiguring the exit to the short-term car park so there's two exits. Making sure we have a screened, accessible rubbish bin compound so we don't have rubbish bins all over the place and the waste collection guys actually blocking access while they're collecting the bins as well, which is happening at the moment. Plus actually reviewing the whole pedestrian access and vehicle access plan so that we can really lock down, I guess, that footprint for the landscaping design and then go ahead with that. We obviously want to make sure we're putting shade structures and trees and so forth in the right place so that we're not having to move them for any kind of long-term car park reconfiguration as well. When Brett mentioned the terminal will eventually expand out, and then where we're doing landscaping will become like a plaza type area, we want to make sure that complements what we're doing now. So we have a contract engaged for design of that. Electrical upgrades, we've actually awarded a contract to Tech Services, which is for substation 2, which is an additional substation which is within the new logistics subdivision. So the work that they're doing at the moment is substation 1 and the terminal surrounds. This will then connect into substation 2 within the logistics precinct, which will then connect over to substation 4, which is over at the fire station. So they all need to be connected for the fireys to actually have the right amount of power that they need. So Air Services have contracted Tech Services directly for their works over there, but they'll all connect, and they're all supposed to be finished by the end of June. I think that's a little bit optimistic on Tech's behalf, but certainly through July should be finished. The rest of the projects, I think, are pretty much as per the information that have been provided. I guess, yeah, just noting too, with this stage one of the terminal precinct, the key outstanding item was to get the stained glass murals up. So they are up, but we are looking at some extra measures to protect them because they are quite fragile. And we're also, if we have not ordered already, but we are certainly finalising orders on a baby change table to be put in the disabled toilet near the check-in area. Now that we have actually had the building surveyor who certified the original designs for the stage one renovations has actually come up to do his final inspection to close that out and confirmed that that area is compliant. So, and that we can put a baby change table in there. So, well, compliant and fit for purpose. So, that we'll be able to close that as well.
Okay, through Madam Chair, we'll just ask.
Question if I can, yeah. The actual entrance to the airport at the North West Coastal Highway, where you have the mosaics as you drive through there, is there anything going to happen with the upgrade of the entrance to the airport? I'm not sure if we've ever discussed that.
No, there's nothing planned in the current scope of works in terms of the ground transport. I think that was something in the long-term master plan that was identified, okay. But not in the current works.
So. Oh, I see that some, through the chair, I can see that some of the mosaics have been damaged, obviously, from something or other, but it'd be interesting to just make a note of that so that we can look into that.
Yeah, we through the chair, we certainly have maintenance budgets and the like, and we can have a look and make any repairs that might be needed.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So I'm happy to add today the entry response directive just regarding that we are meeting with Main Roads to discuss what is happening that they're going to do at the front of the airport. So until that's determined, that entry area, we don't want to sort of do anything there just in case it overlaps, or what they do changes the entry itself. So just for your advice there, Councillor Graham.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, that concludes, the report.
Okay. I do have a question for Janella, if that's all right. I just want to know the ground transport reconfiguration, that will include the second exit for the pay parking?
Correct, yes.
Okay, so do we have any idea when those works will commence and finish?
We don't expect to have the designs finalised until towards the end of this financial year, and then we can award contracts through the first half of next financial year and have that finished.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks, Janella. Okay, so if there are no more questions, then I will firstly ask the committee if they could all give me some feedback on what they think of the new report styles. An affirmative would be good. Nothing other than, are you happy with how these new reports are presented to the committee? could go around the table, yep.
Yep, looking around the table, everyone's nodding their heads, Madam Chair.
Great, okay. So if there's anything, committee, that you want for officers to report back in excess of this, please let us know, and then we will certainly add those to those reports. But in saying that, I just want to say thank you very much to all the officers. I think what you presented really makes very good information for the committee to consider, and certainly helps us in our deliberation. So thank you very much. Well done. So without any further ado, let's consider the item. Are there any points of clarification to the reports of the officers? If there are none, may I have somebody to move that we accept the report? And
Councillor Gillingham moves.
Thank you. And
Brad
second the report.
Brad has a second.
Thanks, Brad. Those against?
That being okay. None.
Okay, that's fabulous. So we'll accept that report's been moved. Is that 6-0?
6-0, yes, Madam Chair.
Okay, fantastic. Let's move on to page. Sorry, I'm on the move in a bus now. Let's move on to page 20, item 11.2.1, General Renovations Communications Plan. Can I accept that the committee has read the report? Are there any points of clarification or questions or comments?
No points of clarification or questions, Madam Chair.
I certainly do. So if I may, please. In your 2.3 on page 23, you've got the campaign we'll seek to reach, and we've listed stakeholders and people. I would like to include in that audience state and federal agencies.
Yep.
And also aviation authorities. The reason why I believe is that I think we should be celebrating what we're doing here, and the more people that know about it, doesn't matter that it's as far away as a federal agency or a state agency, I think we should be letting them know that what we're doing here and put Port Hedland on the map, Port Hedland International Airport on the map. That would be a comment I would make. Secondly, I'm still conscious that you've noted in your communication strategy providing all of the signages and stuff. I'm still thinking that needs to be put up as a priority, given that the work is underway and well underway. So I put out a challenge to you, Director, as I did in our previous conversation, that the work that we're doing here to the interim improvements, would like to see the aviation industry give us an award for what we're doing. So that's the challenge.
So noted, Madam Chair.
Okay, beautiful. So that's all the questions I have. If there are no other further questions and no other points of clarification, may I have somebody to move that the airport committee notes the communication for the board? Sorry,
Chairman, we have a question from Councillor Butson.
Before you carry on for the voting, thanks, Madam Chair. Just with industry, I notice that you haven't got Roy Hill there, and I think that that's obviously a big player that's coming into play in town. Now, are there any other industries that we should be thinking of adding to that? I know we can add to it perhaps at a later date, but just to make sure that they're not missed out.
Yes, yeah, and through the Chair, I can confirm that we've certainly have engaged with Roy Hill.
Yes, quite a lot. Thank you, yes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, if there are no further comments or questions, I have somebody to move that the Airport Committee note the communication strategy for the Port Hedland International Airport Terminal renovation.
Chris just looked at me, so he's moved.
Thank you, Chris. And
Jason has... Jason has said.
Thank you. Those again?
They've been nil.
Okay, so we'll accept that recommendation as past 6-0. And move on to the... We're on the home track, folks, and thank you for being so indulgent. I'm really sorry. Okay, moving to page 25, item 12, late items as submitted by the presiding member. There is nil. Item 13,
motions of which previous notice have been given. They're on your as well. Item 14, confidential items, there is nil. Item 15, application for leave of absence for the next airport committee meeting. Members, can we go around the table? Are there any applications?
Yes, thank you. I'd just like to put in a leave of absence, if I may, for that meeting, as I may not be able to attend. I am in town, but I may not be available for that
meeting. The next meeting
time.
Is being held on the 1st of April.
1st of April, yes, thank you.
There are no others, Madam Chair.
Okay, fine. So are there any applications or not?
Yes.
First,
okay,
first
so we need somebody to move. So we need somebody to move that.
Councillor Gillinghouse moved.
Councillor
Butson.
Okay. Those again?
Nil.
Okay, fantastic. That has been passed. Item 16, attendance by telephone or instantaneous communication, similar to what I'm doing. Are there any applications for attendance by telecommunication? No?
No.
Okay, fine. We'll move on to item 17. Closure, 17.1, date of the next meeting, as just stated, Wednesday, the 1st of April, 2015, at 12:30 p.m., with the agenda briefing being held before that, 15 minutes, so around about 12:15. And 7.2 is closure. So there being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at whatever time it is on the wall.
On the wall, it's 1:25.
Okay, and in doing so, thank all of the committee for turning up, and especially the community members, thank you very much for your attendance, and my apologies again, and thank you for your indulgence for having me over the phone. So have a good day, guys.